Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So here is the latest from NBC News. Students defied Columbia University's orders to vacate their pro-Palestinian protest by 2 o'clock this afternoon, despite warnings of suspension, and after the school's president said it would not divest from Israel, a demand that has sparked protests on college campuses around the country. Says Ben Chang, Vice President for Communications and a spokesperson for Columbia University, we have begun suspending students.
From Twitter several seconds ago, an anonymous group has built a gigantic screen with loudspeakers outside of the UCLA protest showing the footage from October 7th on a loop.
Good.
The graphic footage of the Hamas terrorist organization slaughtering innocent people at that music festival and then beyond the walls that were breached that day.
Joining us on the KMBZ hotline is Dr. Matt Harris with Park University, Associate Professor of Political Science. Dr. Harris, welcome to the program. So glad you could join us.
Yeah, good to be here.
So help us break this down, Dr. Harris. Why are we seeing this groundswell of seeming support for the Palestinians now? And why didn't we see the outrage upon the initial attack on campuses across the country back after October 7th?
Yeah, you know, I think that more broadly, what we're seeing on college campuses does reflect a change in public opinion more broadly, which is that when these attacks first happened in October, public opinion was broadly in support of Israel. And as time has gone on, we've seen that start to shift broadly. Now, the American public still says that they support Israel over Hamas, but the American public is starting to turn against Israel, as we've seen some of the bloodshed that's taken place in Gaza, and there's a humanitarian crisis. People have been sort of they've traveled south through Gaza, and you know, you've got 1.5 million people in Rafah. Food is running short. We've seen tens of thousands killed there. So more broadly, I think it speaks to changes in public opinion more generally. I don't know, you know, sometimes these things sort of take up an energy on college campuses. It's not a formal movement, but you see one campus, then another. But yeah, I think that part of what is making this difficult is for you have students who are demonstrating support for Hamas,
yes,
as opposed to the Palestinian people. And so I think then college campuses are having trouble going, okay, how do we deal with these few voices while trying to broadly protect free speech? And a lot of the speech has been peaceful, and it's calling for, support for the Palestinian people more generally. So college campuses are trying to deal with, well, how do we sort of deal with these actors and do we paint a broad brush and just try to, you know, sweep the campus clean, or do we try to, you know, deal with this more specifically, because there are actually, you know, considerations about keeping Jewish students safe as well.
Yes.
Doctor, you mentioned early in your comments just now that in the beginning, shortly after October 7th, there was broad support for Israel within the United States. And I think that still exists to some extent. Having said that, I don't recall any protests that were denouncing the outrageous, criminal, vulgar attacks against the Israelis by Hamas on college campuses. But now you see it on college campuses when Israel may have, some would argue, gone a little too far.
Yeah, well, I think part of that has to do with, you know, what are you protesting, right? So broadly speaking, you know, the United States has been a supporter of Israel for many years. And so there's not, I don't know, you know, if you're in the United States, what are you protesting for if you're on a college campus? Because the United States is backing Israel, funding them, providing them weapons and these type of things. So, right, I think to a certain extent, the protest is driven by a desire for you know, whether it's the university, whether it's the U.S. government, to do something. And so in October, I don't know what they'd be protesting, since the United States, Joe Biden, were broadly supportive of Israel and still are. They've, you know, Biden has tried to draw a line with Netanyahu, but still, right, supportive of Israel. So I think perhaps that's why you didn't see protests, pro-Israel protests in October.
The students seem to be saying on some of the campuses they want the universities to disentangle themselves from giving money to Israel or Israel-backed causes or companies. And there was a very interesting sort of op-ed. Bill Maher, of all people, talked about this over the weekend, where if the kids were really interested in that, look at all of the different causes over the years or controversial causes that some of these funds are dispersed throughout, and that this certainly would not be a first. Do you think the level of protest that we're seeing balances out somehow with this notion that the schools need to disentangle their money from the cause, or is this something broader?
You know, this effort, this divestment movement mirrors what we saw with protesting South African apartheid government in the 80s. So
yes,
in a sense, and really all of these student movements, right? I mean, college students are, you know, historically, they've been known to protest, whether we want to talk about the civil rights movement, Vietnam War, anti-apartheid movements, and what we're seeing now. And what we're seeing now is, you know, pales in comparison to some of those other movements. And so, you know, there's always a... yeah, I mean, yes, there probably are things that colleges have been invested in, and it's always, I think it's sometimes hard to, especially if you're talking about private universities, you don't even necessarily see them open their books and know exactly what's going on. So, yeah, there's probably things that students would have protested or should have protested or could have had they known about them. But I don't think that the fact that they are coming out strongly in this movement necessarily, you know, makes them wrong or hypocrites or anything like that.
Well, Professor, I mean, we're speaking with Professor Matt Harris, Dr. Matt Harris with Park University, Associate Professor of Political Science. In the past, Doctor, when there have been protests regarding something internationally, it has happened on the plaza, or it's happened, you know, downtown, and also on college campuses. What is it about this kind of protest that seems to be almost exclusively on college campuses and not in your general population?
You know, I think we certainly saw broader, I think movements may tend to be broader when they are domestically, when the issues that are being protested are domestic. And so, to a certain extent, I think Americans don't care as much about what's going on overseas. There are moments when they do, right? The 2004 election. But even in this, as we look for the 2024 election, is this issue going to be a big deal? I mean, young people seem to care about it a little bit more, and there is a big divide between Democrats and Republicans. But if you look at all the issues that Americans are concerned about, what's going on in Gaza is down on that list, and it's behind things that we tend to see every election season, like the economy, right? Inflation. And so I think part of it is that Americans in general are tend to be more concerned with kitchen table issues. You know, James Carville used to say, it's the economy, stupid. And so I think part of it is that people are more concerned with these things taking place domestically, and I don't, you know, there hasn't been a domestic element of this that a lot of Americans are paying attention to.
And we've talked about this before on our program, Dr. Harris, with you. It is overwhelmingly complicated. Historically, this is overwhelmingly complicated. And I think, you know, the majority of Americans certainly were paying attention October 7th. And now that American students are being arrested on college campuses, the news media is paying attention to it now. But there were weeks where we didn't really hear much about this in between for your average kitchen table conversation anyway.
Yeah, it is complicated. And I don't think we can lose sight of the fact that Hamas is still holding hostages, right? So
more than 100.
So this is not, I think you can say that the Israeli response has been negligent to civilian casualties, and that's what a lot of humanitarian groups have said. But we also can't lose sight of the fact that, right, like Hamas is not a benevolent group. The other thing I would say about protests is, yeah, we can look at students being arrested or being expelled, but that's part of what makes protest movements successful, right? If you just have a little protest and nothing happens and you're just hanging out in your tents, that doesn't get public attention. And so part of what drives protest movements and what has driven movements, civil rights in the 60s and protests against the Vietnam War, was the fact that, yeah, we are willing to be arrested. We are willing to face consequences. And I think that's, you know, we'll see what happens at Columbia and elsewhere. But that's part of a protest movement, right, is I am willing to face consequences because I believe in this.
Dr. Matt Harris with Park University, do appreciate your time and your expertise. Thank you for it.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Be well. I will just simply read you a text from a friend of the program. I will not identify him or her, but this person writes, "What would we expect if cartels paraglided into Texas, beheaded and raped the American population, then retreated to hide under hospitals back in Mexico? Would we not expect the government to go scorched earth?"
And of
course, that is from a good friend of the program.
The answer is yes. So my question again, Scott, is that why the protesting now? It's almost as if what happened October 7th has been erased from collective memory, and now we're only talking about the response.
913-586-7798, 586-7798. Columbia University announcing today, we are suspending students. The University of Texas Austin, they're arresting them. She's Dana Wright. He's Sam Stevie. My name's Scott here on KMBZ.
This is from CBS News. A lot of this still unfolding as we speak on the air this afternoon. Chaos erupted at the University of Texas in Austin late this afternoon as police moved in to make arrests and forcibly dismantle a protest encampment. Protesters chanting Free Palestine set up encampments on the South Lawn. The university said protesters ignored repeated directives from the administration and law enforcement to remove their tents. Baseball-sized rocks were found strategically placed within the encampment. I read on Twitter, state troopers in riot gear moved in, Scott. Pepper spray was deployed. Someone heard a flashbang.
Wait, they staged baseball-sized rocks?
I think they were strategically placed, is what the CBS story is trying to get at.
For people to grab and throw.
And keep in mind, protesting on college campuses in America is nothing new. It is as old as time itself, or old as the country itself. And you do have First Amendment protection. What you don't have is the consequences to exercising your First Amendment rights.
Yeah, you can be expelled.
Of course
you can be removed.
You can be suspended.
You could be suspended. Yep. Most of the headlines that I'm reading say pro-Palestinian demonstrators. And I love that Dr. Harris brought this up with Park University. Does that mean pro-Hamas?
Not necessarily.
And can you be pro-Palestinian, pro-Israeli, and anti-Hamas? Can you just be anti-war? And do you see these protesters as falling under that? Or is this something bigger?
Here's what I think, Dana. No, you cannot be pro-Palestinian and pro-Israeli at the same time. I think that that's a difficult thread to get through the needle. You can be pro-Palestinian, but not pro-Hamas. However, and this bears repeating, Hamas is the government of the Gaza Strip. Has been for decades. The people of the Gaza Strip have allowed, or at least tolerated, Hamas being their government organization. This terrorist group, and they are terrorists, there is no other way to define them, have literally sucked the blood out of the Palestinian people. When aid comes in, when money comes in, they take it. And the Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip have either tolerated it or allowed it. Now, I am not anti-Palestinian. I am definitely anti-Hamas, but I am certainly pro-Israeli. That all notwithstanding, who cares what I am, right? But I find it incredible that, and you could make the argument that Israel has gone a little bit over the top in what has happened in the Gaza Strip. But yet, nobody has protested on a college campus about what Russia has done in Ukraine. No one. Can't think of a single protest. What is it about, and if this is a genocide, and I don't think it is, where were the protests for Rwanda back in 1995? I don't remember a single protest on a college campus.
Someone asked, do we even know what percentage of the protesters are actually students versus
I think they're outside
agitators coming in?
I think a lot of them are, Dana.
According to those arrested in the early days, not many of them arrested were students.
Amanda in North Kansas City. Amanda, hello.
Hello. I love your show. I listen to you every day.
Well, thank you. You're very kind.
So I have two college students right now. One's graduating this year. One of them, it's their second year. Since the war started, they've been pretty vocal about it. They haven't been real vocal about the Ukraine thing. They're more vocal about the Israeli-Palestine thing, especially more lately, because of all the things that they're seeing happening that Israel is doing in retaliation. Like, you know, I'm not going to go into it because it's pretty explicit, but the big problem that they're having is our funds going to Israel, who go over and decimate like the civilian population and do terrible things to the, to other human beings. That's the problem that they're having. They're not like pro Hamas or pro Palestine. I mean, they're having a huge problem with the whole human aspect of
it. And Amanda, real quick, because we asked this question earlier, I will pose it again. What response is mm-hmm. measured enough after what happened on October 7th? Amen. And I would ask the protesters that as well. Like, was it okay up until 2 weeks ago or a month ago? Like, what response?
What happened with my kids? Something happened. I'm not quite sure what it was, but they're keeping up on the news and everything. And apparently they've found a bunch of mass graves with very desecrated bodies. One of them I read was 250, and my kids started talking about that, and that's kind of lit a fire under them. Just stories like that, and I think it's scaring them really bad right now. I think these kids, you got to understand, these kids were the ones that were robbed from high school. They couldn't even have a graduation because of COVID.
Well, but they're about to not get a graduation from college. But I would challenge you on this if I may, Amanda, where are these kids getting their news? Because if there was a mass grave, why are we not hearing about it on Fox? Why are we not hearing about it on CNN, MSNBC? Where are they getting their information? And I would argue it's on TikTok. And TikTok is not a legitimate news source. I think we can all agree on that.
And as I mentioned in previous conversations about this, they are in an echo chamber because of the algorithm.
That's right. 913-586-7798, 586-7798.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yes, very quickly, before we go to Charlotte, North Carolina, Sam reminded us of this during the commercial break. The scout system... KC scout system is down.
It's still down.
I believe for the rest of the week, after a Russian entity hacked the something in Jackson County.
Well, no, they hacked the KC scout system.
And so Jackson County.
They hacked all of the Jackson County offices in the beginning of April.
Yep.
It took 2 weeks for them to get those systems back up and running.
Yep.
In the middle of last week, they hacked into KC scout. Now, the KC scout hasn't specifically said it's a Russian hacking group, mm-hmm. but...
Yeah. That's what we reported
That's
on the news earlier
do.
Today.
They bounce from one to the other. They get their money. They get in quick and give you the codes back and leave.
Can you imagine if you're driving down the highway and it just says, you're going the wrong way?
Oh, we could have a lot of fun with that.
Turn around.
Lewd and lascivious messages on the KC Scout camera system.
I see what you're doing.
So word is that KC Scout is down for the rest of the week mm-hmm. while they try to figure out what's going on.
And by rest of the week... for the unforeseen future.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
They have no re-upping date.
All right, let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina.
This did lead ABC News World Tonight. We were asking earlier, where are the national folks on this? It led ABC News just now.
Yeah. Three officers have died, sadly, following a shooting incident in Charlotte, North Carolina, including one U.S. Marshal and two local officers, according to authorities. A total of eight law enforcement officers were shot during the incident at a residence Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Chief John Jennings said at a Monday evening news conference. The shooting unfolded, I gave you the address earlier, it doesn't mean anything to anybody, as members of the U.S. Marshals Fugitive Task Force were serving a warrant for possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. The officers were met with gunfire from a high-powered rifle and returned fire, fatally shooting a suspect in the front yard of the house. Marshals had been serving the warrant to that suspect. The person who died was the person they were looking for.
Okay, so follow me here, because just before 5 p.m., this is just in the last hour, authorities cleared the home, said the area is now safe, that one was dead at the home. That's going to be the suspect that the original warrant was for, and that two have been arrested. But Sam, you read somewhere where police shot and killed the fugitive right out of the gate.
The timeline
in the front yard.
The timeline of the story was that they went up with a pretty heavy presence to serve this warrant, and they were met with gunfire. They returned gunfire. They killed the fugitive immediately. For hours after that, the gunfire continued.
From two people inside the house.
Correct. Killing three, injuring five other officers. One of the injured is said to be in critical condition.
Yep. The suspect died in the front yard of the home. Afterward, the officers were shot at from inside the home, triggering that standoff with eight total hurt. And I just read on Twitter, Scott, from one of the local journalists there, that one of those eight injured is law enforcement in critical condition.
Mm-hmm. Fighting for his life.
And we bring this up again because we have talked about this again and again and again with the search warrant. We had someone shot and killed here within the last couple of months. Mm-hmm. Someone shot at and not struck trying to serve a warrant within the last several weeks.
Well, you remember the person who was killed, I believe, was a process server. Wasn't even a police officer.
There was an Independence police officer and a process server shot and killed, that's allegedly right, by Larry Acree.
That's right.
So
what do we do? Do we just park the cars out front?
And pardon me, this is from WSOC TV right there. The chief, during his news conference just now, says it is eight officers shot, three dead. One of those officers is in critical. Eight officers shot.
Correct. Three are dead. One is in critical condition. Four others are expected to be okay.
The warrant, by the way, was for possession of a firearm as a felon.
Mm-hmm.
And as Sam pointed out during a break, they do have the death penalty in North Carolina. Is that correct, Sam?
I believe that is correct. Yeah, I think they're the only state that has the firing squad.
Good.
Of the remaining five officers who were shot, one is a task force member. Four are police officers. One of those is in critical, fighting for his life. The others are stable and expected to be okay, thank God.
So what do we do? How do we handle this in the future? Do we just wait them out?
Scott, I don't know.
Wait for them to leave the home?
One of the two people in the home, by the way, is a 17-year-old and a woman. A 17-year-old and a woman.
Pardon me, it was South Carolina that passed firing squad, but North Carolina does have the death penalty.
Good. I don't know what the answer is. How do you handle this in a way that three officers, three U.S. Marshals, don't end up dead, a fourth one fighting for his life, and four others in the hospital?
They knew they were armed.
Do you just wait them out?
Yeah, clearly.
They were there to serve fugitive, firearm warrants.
Fugitive in possession of a firearm. Scott, I don't know.
I mean, I don't want to second guess the police.
Well, the police are only following the procedures that exist on the books. So, but at some point, we have to ask ourselves the question, is there not a better way to do this?
So I think it's fair to second guess the procedures on the book.
The policy.
Yeah. And do we not just say, come on out, or we'll sit here all night and wait you out, but we're not coming up to the front door because you are a felon in possession of a firearm and we're not playing around. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if this is the time we get Mark Turman on. Because three officers are not going home tonight, and a fourth may not. And that is not acceptable. They're walking into a situation that is so unpredictable.
Is it?
Well, maybe it's not.
I don't think that's the word we use here. I think the word is
unstable.
I think it is unstable, but predictable. Yeah. They are going in after a fugitive who is a felon in possession of a firearm.
Yep. What do you think he's going to have?
Now, we have had process servers call into this program before after the officer was shot in Independence, Scott, that the rules say you have to serve someone. Physically, they have to be served.
But do you have to serve them at their home?
Scott, I...
In this specific case, he was a fugitive wanted for possession of firearms.
Yeah,
you can't exactly just send him a letter. They were trying to get the guy.
They were going in to get him, Scott. But what Scott, I think, is asking is, do you have to do it outside of a home where the element of surprise is gone?
Mm-hmm. You don't have it.
On the good guy's side, there is no element of surprise. You don't have it.
And they have the high ground.
Because they're holed up inside with what one could predict would be weapons. There's got to be a safer way to do this.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. May God bless the three officers and their families in Charlotte, North Carolina today who lost their lives. And the fourth who is fighting for his. And the four others who are expected to survive. 913-586-7798. She's Dana Wright. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott. Here on KMBZ. All right, let's get to the phones. 586-7798. Brian in KCK. Brian, good afternoon. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
I'm KCK. I'm in Mound City, Kansas.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, great.
Okay, one way to serve a warrant, especially when they have a firearm, and you're serving a warrant for a firearm, gas them out or a flashbang them. Get them out of the residence. Lob tear gas in there, or they got 23-millimeter grenade launchers under their M16s. Military issue, but it works.
Two things, Brian. If you are going to do that, you had better be damn sure you have the correct address, because we have seen cases where this has happened where the person they are looking for no longer lives there, has moved, the address was wrong or transposed. Second,
innocence.
We have seen cases where there is a baby right inside that door and the flashbang goes in and baby is severely injured or killed.
Well, you said one of the people that was in there was 17 years old.
One of the two in there accused of firing back at those officers.
Well, but you did,
one is a 17-year-old, one is a woman.
You would not have known the 17-year-old was about to fire back.
You wouldn't know.
At the time.
Which gets me back to, is there not a safer way? And Scott, you were saying this off the air. Why not just follow the guy until he gets out of his car?
At some point, he's got to leave the house, right?
If he has to physically be served for any warrant service, whether or not this was a fugitive they were trying to apprehend or not, why not put the element of surprise on the fugitive not on the law enforcement officers?
And I know this would be time restrictive, but why not? And again, I'm not questioning the police, I'm questioning the policy. And in this case, it was the U.S. Marshals. Why not surround the home, cut off the electricity, cut off the water to the house, surround the home, and wait them out? At some point, they run out of food. They have to drink water.
How many of these are they doing every day? If you're with the U.S. Marshal Service,
how many police officers are you willing to sacrifice?
This is like word association. You say marshal, I say fugitive. That's what I think. It's what they do.
Right.
Well, and the U.S. Marshals don't mess around.
I understand. But how many are we willing to sacrifice? And I would make the argument the answer to that is zero. So why not surround the home, cut off the electricity, cut off the water?
Eight officers were shot trying to bring in this one idiot who's now dead.
Died in the front lawn. But it was two other idiots, Dana, as Sam was pointing out, two other idiots who, after this guy died on the front lawn, the guy they were really there to get, two other idiots inside the home opened fire as well.
A neighbor told local reporters there that they were even staging inside neighbors' homes, sharpshooting from high windows, trying to get a better angle at the people shooting from inside the home.
Carol in Garnett, 586-7798. Carol, good afternoon. Hello.
I think it's already been mentioned that turning off all utilities, gas, water, and electricity, and just waiting them out, has happened in the past, and it worked. And that way nobody gets hurt.
You know, I also wonder, Carol, thank you for the call. Did the people in the homes next door to this know that there's a fugitive on the run wanted right next door to them? Or do you find that out when the SWAT team comes bursting into your home to use your upstairs window as some sort of tree stand shield to try to take out the 17-year-old and the woman still inside?
I did not see tree stand shield on my bingo card today. My guess is you probably have an idea that he's up to no good, but you don't realize
a lot of cars coming and going. How bad, a lot of activity there.
How badly he's wanted.
He was a quiet guy.
We never expected this. They always say that. We never expected this. He kept to himself. Dana, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, do you know what your neighbors are up to all the time?
I'd like to think if one of them was a fugitive from the law, well, we might know that, but probably not.
I would like to know that, too.
If we knew, they wouldn't be a fugitive.
Oh, wow. Story here from Baltimore. A former high school athletics director was arrested last week after allegedly using artificial intelligence. This is not a student. Mm-hmm. This is an athletics director at the high school. After using AI to impersonate the school principal in a recording that included racist and anti-Semitic comments about individuals at the school. One time, former Pikesville High School employee Dazon Darian is facing charges that include theft, stalking, disruption of school operations, and retaliation. Investigators determined that he faked the principal, Eric Eiswirth's voice, and circulated the audio on social media in January.
Making the principal sound like a lunatic racist. And it was all fake.
You want to know how they caught him?
Please.
Please tell me.
He used his work computer.
Of course he did.
Okay, but that scares me, because had he not used his work computer, we would still think the principal was a lunatic racist, which he was. He's not.
Well, for the rest of time, if they Google his name, they will think he's a lunatic racist. God.
Somebody says, didn't you guys talk about this last week?
No, this is a new case.
No, we did not talk about
this. We did. We talked about it on Friday.
This is a new case.
I don't remember talking about this specific story.
Yeah, it was this cat.
All right. Oh, well. At least Dana got to chime in on it.
Thank you. AI is going to be the death of all of us. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, my gosh.
That's why I put it back in the stack. I didn't know if we wanted to have a deeper dive.
By the way, Mike Tyson and Jake Paul getting ready to fight in July.
Lord. How much to watch that, by the way?
It doesn't say, but...
An arm and a leg.
Yeah. Or an ear. Sorry.
Mike Tyson says...
Wow!
Mike Tyson, who is 57, says he has stopped smoking marijuana and for the last 2.5 weeks.
That's how he's training?
And has has given up sex.
It's just gummies now. No,
in Texas, marijuana is considered a performance-enhancing drug, which... We all know it's not.
But that's what he's doing to train.
Well, no, you've seen... I showed you the video of him training.
I know.
This guy is going to send Jake Paul into the next hemisphere. Says Tyson, 2.5 weeks, I haven't smoked. Haven't had sex for 2.5 weeks.
Smoked.
Say it on the air.
No.
She just said, for 2.5 weeks, I haven't smoked. Haven't had.
We heard it on the air the first time.
Haven't had sex.
Seriously,
stop
Dana?
Stop it.
I'm going to punch Jake Paul right in the face.
All right, we got to run. Are we doing pickleball tonight?
I think we are.
Are we playing with my divorce lawyer?
I think we are.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Bring $400.
That would be a cheap night. On behalf of our producer today, ladies and gentlemen, he is the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright. My name is Scott, and God willing, we are back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime. at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.